Your speaker is Claude Farr.
Time and turn to the book of Acts. I'll read Acts chapter 28, last chapter, verse 24, to begin with. Acts 28, verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And we're going to be focusing our attention on what can happen in preaching. Not talking about my preaching this morning, don't focus on that. I'm talking about the preaching that we're going to have in the upcoming gospel meeting. And also, I think you will notice as we go through this that much of what will be said, maybe all that will be said this morning, would be very relevant not only to the preaching that's going to occur in the gospel meeting or any time that the word is proclaimed publicly, but also is true of your private preaching. We usually call that evangelism or personal evangelism, but it amounts to the same thing. And so as we talk this morning, while I want to focus primarily on the upcoming gospel meeting, I want you to also think in terms of your own work as you try to tell others about Jesus Christ. Preaching is God's idea, not man's. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, about verse 19. Gospel meeting begins next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the Bible class, and then we'll go through Wednesday evening. And Jim Farr, my nephew, it's already been announced, will be doing the speaking. Jim is a young man, from my point of view. A lot of you would say he's middle-aged. He's in his early 40s. And he's been preaching. Most of his preaching experience has been in Tennessee, but for a little over a year now, he's been located in Lenore, North Carolina. He's about the right age and had about the right amount of experience to be hitting his stride, to be there. He's not new. He's not old. But he's had plenty of experience. And I don't know whether I'm the only one here. I know that some others here have heard him. And he's good. He's my nephew, but he's still good. And so I plan to be here. Not only plan to be here yourself, but think in terms of friends that you might bring. Because this, we want to make this a good gospel meeting. They say that the value of gospel meetings has declined in recent years, and that's certainly true. But that's only if we let it be that way. If we'll let it be a great gospel meeting, it will be. And I want to just talk this morning about some things that happen in preaching. And the first thing I want to notice is that preaching convicts, it also repels. And look, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, this is Acts chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost. And the first completed gospel sermon that was ever preached in the world has just been preached. Now, of course, the prophets of the Old Testament foretold the coming of Christ. John the Baptist preached. Jesus preached. But after the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and the day that this is the day the church started, this is the first time that the gospel message was proclaimed in its fullness to the world. And after these people heard it, the effect was that many of them at least were pricked or cut to the heart. We call that conviction. And that's what happens, or that's one thing at least that happens in preaching. These people were convicted of sin in their life. And they cried out, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter then answers in the next verse, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, not everybody became a Christian that day, but a lot did. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, I want us just to focus our attention for a minute on the fact that preaching convicts. That's true of public preaching, and that's also true of private preaching. When you're doing evangelistic work, personal evangelism, though, if you're going to convict people, you're going to have to confront them with their sins. Sometimes it will be gross immorality. Other times it will be religious error. In this case, it was both. These people were as wrong can be about who Jesus Christ was. They rejected him as an imposter. They said he was not the Messiah. Not only that would be a religious error that they made. But not only that, they committed the gross sin of executing an innocent man. So in this particular case, you see a gross moral sin also a gross religious error. And that, I think this would illustrate the extremes in both. When you're doing talking to other people about becoming a Christian, you can't just smooth everything over and love everybody into the church or into Christ. Now, you need to have love, of course. But people have to be confronted with their sins. And that's what the Apostle Peter did in the preceding verse of the one I read. He said that this Jesus whom you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. And they were convicted. So one of the things that happens in preaching is men are convicted and become Christians. But also, sometimes people are repelled. And turn now, if you would, over to Acts chapter 7. And let me read verse 54. On this occasion, Stephen is the preacher. And verse 54 says this: when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And then look down at verse 57. And they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped up their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid the clothes of their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. The first group on the day of Pentecost were pricked or cut to the heart. The message hit home. The second group of people were also cut to the heart. The message hit home. But they reacted in a totally different way. And this, of course, is an extreme. They gnashed on him with their teeth to express anger. They stopped their ears, and I guess it means literally they did that so they wouldn't hear what he was saying. And then they stoned him. And that is the other extreme. So preaching can convict and bring salvation, or preaching can repel and bring anger. And if you're going to ever do any evangelism yourself, if you're going to talk to people about Christ, you need to be aware of the fact that either of those two things can happen. In fact, if you do very much evangelistic work and talking to people, you'll experience both. Not perhaps to the same degree here as being stoned, but you will experience both. That is, those who are convicted and become Christians, and those who actually get really upset with you, are really angry and furious at you because you're telling them about things that are wrong in their life. And then while we're talking about this, let's just kind of look, everybody look at yourself for just a minute. Hasn't this happened to you? I mean, I know it has me. Haven't you listened to preaching and it's kind of touched you and kind of convicted there? I mean, that certainly is the experience of all Christians, obviously. But as we live the Christian life, we'll hear things said, and it convicts. But you know, have you experienced? I think I have. Have you ever heard somebody say something, and you knew it was true, but instead of the conviction to make it, you kind of got upset with the person that said it? That happens too. And I think just about all of us can look at our personal experience in listening to preaching and teaching and can realize that these two things happen. We want to make sure in our own lives, when we hear preaching that is correct, that it convicts and causes us to turn to the Lord rather than repel. So that's the first thing that I wanted to notice about preaching. It can either convict or repel. Second thing that I want to notice is that it can encourage and confirm. And look over now, if you would, to Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. This is in Antioch. Acts 11, these people have newly become Christians. And then verse 22 says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. One thing that occurs in preaching is that people are encouraged, or exhorted is the word that's used here. And it's interesting that the person that's mentioned here is Barnabas. This is not the first mention of Barnabas, though, in the New Testament. The first mention of him in the New Testament is in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Barnabas wasn't really his name. It was Josie. That was his name. But the apostles surnamed him Barnabas, because the name Barnabas means son of exhortation. Now, he must have been a preacher. Paul, of course, we think of him mostly, but I guess he outdid Paul in his speaking ability, obviously. He was so powerful, and he could encourage people so much that they changed his name and they called him son of exhortation, Barnabas. And he went up then, they sent him up here to Antioch to this new congregation, and he exhorted them that they would cleave unto the Lord. Now that's something that will happen in this gospel meeting. I'm not saying that Jim will be as good as Barnabas. I never heard Barnabas, but Jim will be good, and he will exhort. The gospel meeting that we will have, Jim has already told me that the lessons he brings will be lessons be worthwhile for those who are not Christians. It'll also be a message to those of us who are Christians. There will be some exhortation in the gospel meeting. And so you can come for your own benefit as well as bring those who are not Christians for their benefit. One thing that preaching does is exhort. It encourages. But it exhorts. It also confirms. And turn over just a little bit further in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Paul and Barnabas have been on their missionary journey, and they've been to several cities. They've just turned from Derbe, and they're on the way back through some cities where they'd established churches. Verse 21 says, "And when they had preached the gospel in that city," that is Derbe, "and had taught many, they turned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples." Some of the translations will have strengthening, which gives the basic same idea. "Confirming or strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Now, of course, you see exhorting there again, but focus now on confirming or strengthening. And there's a slightly different idea here. Just exhorting would be kind of, you know, encouraging people to live right. Confirming or strengthening has the idea of making you firmer in your beliefs. You need both. Have you ever experienced that when you've heard preaching? I have. I've been preaching a lot of years and studied the Bible a lot, but lots of times I'm listening to someone else preach, and it confirms. I already know a particular truth, but the way it is put, and just really not just necessarily the way it is put, but the calling of it to my attention just kind of drives that in a little deeper. It confirms. And, you know, a lot of times, if you're like me, a lot of times when you listen to someone else speaking, you know, I've heard that before, but that's not a total waste. Because some of the things that we hold to be true now, if we just never heard it repeated again for the next 20 years, that would kind of loosen up. We need to be confirmed. And so one of the things that will happen in the gospel meeting will be there will be some truths that you already know. It won't be wasted, though, because it will kind of drive that a little deeper in your heart and in your mind and confirmed. And it may establish that it may even make it firmer than it has ever been. And so when we talk about the gospel meeting, we want to invite our friends. But remember that with regard to Christian people, it is a time of being encouraged and confirmed in our faith. And so the meeting will be of value for us as well as for any visitors that we might bring. Then the next thing I want to emphasize is a passage or two that shows us that preaching brings mixed reactions. And we've kind of touched on this, but I want to look at another passage too. Acts 17, verse 32. Paul has just preached his famous sermon in the city of Athens on Mars Hill. He started out with the altar to the unknown God and said that the God you don't know, I'm going to tell you about him. And he talks about the God that made heaven and the earth and that created all nations of men of one blood and calls upon men to repent. And then he spoke of the resurrection. And then verse 32 says this, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter." You have two totally different reactions now to the gospel. Some people heard it, they just mocked. Others heard it, and they said, you know, we want to hear more. For some people, the idea of a resurrection was incredible. It's not really. The Apostle Paul, a little bit later in Acts, when he's talking to Agrippa, he says, you know, why should it seem a thing incredible that God would raise the dead? These people listen. They listen when Paul talked about there is one God. They listen as he talked about he had made the world. And they listen when they talked about he had made men, created mankind. But they mocked when he talked about God raising from the dead. Well, that's absurd. If God can make the world, and if God can create men, why in the world would anybody think it's strange that he could raise someone from the dead? But nevertheless, these people mocked. Others were a little more sensible. Now, they didn't just jump on the bandwagon. It doesn't say that they believed. But they said, you know, This is new. It's different. We want to hear more about it. We want to know about this. They had an open mind. Sometimes when you talk to people about the truth, they'll just mock and ridicule, turn their back on it completely. Then there are others. They won't necessarily accept it right at first, but they'll be interested. And they want to hear more. And that's the effect that happened here on this occasion. The next thing I want to notice is in Acts chapter 18. Again, this is mixed reactions. This is not at Athens, this is at Corinth. Verse 6. And they opposed themselves. Paul, of course, is preached to the Jews in the synagogue. It says, and they opposed themselves and blasphemed. When they had done that, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From henceforth I go to the Gentiles. What I want you to notice here at Corinth is that these people blasphemed. Blaspheme means to speak against. And that's what people do sometimes when they hear the gospel. They'll speak against. You can be talking about to a person who is an atheist, and he may speak against the very idea of there being a God. You can talk to some people about Jesus Christ and Him being the only way, and they will mock in their, you know, their other religions. They'll blaspheme or speak against that basic idea. And you talk about the fact that you have to be baptized in order to be saved, and a person will speak against that idea. They'll call it legalism. And here, when Paul is talking to these Jewish people about Jesus Christ, they blaspheme. They spoke out against Jesus being the Christ. But then in contrast with that, look at verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Mixed reaction there in the city of Corinth. There were those who spoke against it, blasphemed. But there were some good, honest souls there, Crispus being one of them. There were some good people there. When they heard it, they believed it, and they were baptized. Just as Jesus had said in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then, of course, that verse that I started, the very end of the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 24. When Paul had preached in Rome, this is in Rome now, and some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. That's the way it is when the gospel is preached. Whether it's preached publicly, or whether you do it privately with your friends, it's always been the case that some believe and some don't. We have this gospel meeting coming up, and the gospel will be preached. It will be an opportunity for you to be here personally, to be encouraged and confirmed in your faith. It will be an opportunity for you to bring friends or visitors, and we don't know how they react. We do know that when people hear the gospel, though, some believe and some don't. And we need to, of course, expect those results. But we need to offer the gospel to everyone. This time we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and that's for the benefit of anyone who's not a Christian. You need to believe, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And if you'd like to do that this morning,